Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
First down at the 12. Heinicke with time over the middle into the end zone. Caught! McLaurin's got the touchdown! 9 seconds to go in the half, and Heinicke finds McLaurin for six.
I know what you guys are thinking. You're worried. You're nervous. You said, wait a second. Darius just played the Terry McLaurin highlight at three. What are we going to play when Terry McLaurin comes on at four? Don't worry, there's a few of those. Darius. Nobody. He's saying it's my fault. No, it's not. You see? Because you got some other plays to choose from. You got a sideline catch that was preposterous. You got a little corner route for 30 yards to open the bidding. You got five grabs for 100 yards. Every one of them was high difficulty. See, when Terry McLaurin's on your show at four, you get to pick the highlight that you play, Danny. He's coming up in 58 minutes. What a game for him. Great response, by the way, to letters to Terry last week when we all told him how much we loved him. We almost might have to run that back at some point in the near future if he keeps playing like this.
Well, a great response because for some reason we're all on the front lines of a battle that took place 200 or 300 years ago.
Right.
You know, so we're all in a tough way, which is how you write letters. That's the only time anyone's ever written a letter. And Terry took that, embraced it, probably used it as fuel. I assume he wasn't motivated before, but we wrote him nice letters verbally on the radio, and he's like, oh, I should probably play well for those guys. At a minimum, we have correlation.
So here's what we want to do as we kind of shift the conversation out of game balls and gassers into topic two, if you will. What has changed for this team? They are playing with a confidence now that really started with a suffocating first half defensive performance in week 10 against the Bucs. You go back to the 29-19 win last week, a 10-point victory. Now this 6-point win on the road in Charlotte, 27-21, their second road victory of the year. Remember, they won in Atlanta as well. This is different. I'm not saying Carolina's great, right? They were 2-5 in seven games coming into yesterday, but they're a better team than the Falcons. And at 5-6 now, that was a quality win. And you pushed a good defense around up front in the running game with some backups, as Jay from DC was just pointing out. It didn't seem like they were missing a beat as linemen were falling left and right. What has changed for this team? I've got three things here. You can either hit on one of them or go wherever you'd like, Danny, but I jotted down the three reasons why I think this team the last 2 weeks has looked different, has played better. You ready?
Go for it.
Number one, I think they're playing much tighter defense, and they're making offenses earn everything. And what I mean by that is those easy touchdowns the Saints scored, the 49-yard Hail Mary at the end of the half, the 70-plus yarder on a post with a miscommunication, you know, some of the big plays they allowed against the Bills, even when there weren't touchdowns, but just like catching runs for 50. Those things are dissipating, and so now you're having to go on 9, 10, 11 play drives. That's really hard to do in this league. It's just tough because you're going to get a penalty and you're going to be behind the chains, or you're going to lose three on a run and now it's 3rd and 11. All of a sudden, going on that drive becomes mission impossible. And so I think the way that they've taken away the big plays, which is one of the keys to the entire league defensively, has been a huge deal. I'm going to stay on defense with number two. Their third down defense is fixed. And I'm not saying it'll be fixed for the rest of the year. I'm saying the last two games, it was fixed. That was why this defense was awful. For every week leading up to Tampa Bay, they were getting off the field 43% of the time on third down. The last 2 weeks, they've gotten off the field on 13 of 19 tries, 68% of the time. An increase
night and day
by 25%, which is massive. They were 8% worse than the 31st best team, the next to last team in terms of third down defense, Miami, until the Bucs game. They were much better last week. And then yesterday, they had their best game on third down on defense since 2018 against a bad Giants offense. That was the last time they only allowed two conversions on third down. I don't know if people realize this. The first time the Panthers moved the sticks yesterday on third down was with 7 minutes to go in the third quarter. Crazy. They have gotten that sorted out, and it's changed everything for their defense. And then the last thing I'll say, you could just say Heinicke's playing well, but I'll zero in on Heinicke protecting the football. They hadn't gone two games all season back-to-back without throwing an interception. He's done that. And in fact, if you look since week one, three times he hasn't thrown a pick, they've won all three of those games. It's three of their four wins since week one. I think it's pretty simple. Better defense on third down and fewer big plays allowed, and Heinicke not turning the football over. Two-week sample, two wins, one against a really good team, one against a fine team that was probably a little better than you on paper, and now you're knocking on the door in the conversation.
I think those are all very, very good. My answer is simpler. I kind of combine one and two and just say it this way. They're playing sound on defense. Everybody's doing what they're supposed to be doing. I think you got less freelancing, less roaming, less out of position, less miscommunication. All that stuff seems to have been cleaned up. It took a while. I'd love for it to happen, say, in week one before you play the Chargers, or before, you know, a long pass against the Saints undoes you against Jameis Winston and company a few weeks ago. But whatever the course, it happened now. So to your point, everybody's got to earn every inch in front of them. And teams are going to get that. I mean, it's the offense in this league. There are going to be some first downs. There'll be some ball movement. But for the most part, everything is a challenge for offenses. You do that enough, they commit a penalty or two, you get one negative play in there. Next thing you know, you get to these more manageable third downs. And again, that first and second down defense has translated to me to third downs here each of these last couple weeks, to your point, where they were, still they're the only team over 50% for the league on third downs allowed this year. Nobody else is close. And that speaks to how bad it was through the first 8 weeks and how much better it's been these last couple weeks, where all of a sudden, as you said, their offense can go to work now, win the time of possession battle, and kind of out-physical themselves. The next thing I would say, in addition to that first point, kind of large one that you made, is I think they know who they are now. I think maybe Ron Rivera's always known. Maybe Scott Turner, you know, just discovered it the last couple weeks. But this emphasis on physical running the football, even when they weren't particularly good at it against Tampa Bay, they still stayed committed to it for a purpose, for an end. I think that's who they are. I think this is a team that's in the image of the head coach who wants to play this kind of, you know, lower ceiling, higher floor, smash mouth football. Let's make a play or two on defense and kind of win by out toughing people. I think they now kind of realize that's where their bread is buttered, and they're sticking to that here each of the last couple weeks.
But we talked about this in passing early. I want to circle back to it. Maybe, but they've been allowed to play that way because of how their defense has played the last 2 weeks. Like, it's a causation correlation kind of thing, or maybe there's a better way to describe it. But Scott Turner can't do what he did against the Bucs if Tampa Bay's moving the football and scoring points, because you can't hang. Agreed. You see what I'm saying? Like, the Carolina game yesterday, you can do what they did because Cam Newton's not beating you through the air. Robbie Anderson's having a terrible season, and DJ Moore was uninvolved because other than throwing it at the line of scrimmage, like he's just not going to be getting the football. So you could do that against Carolina. They'll be able to, by the way, to do it against Seattle as well. I think it's a great formula against Seattle. They should run the ball, and they should try to score 24 points again. That will beat the Seahawks. Their offense is awful. They haven't really improved since Russell Wilson rushed and came back probably too early. They're a bad defense. They can be had on the ground. I think that's the exact formula for this coming week. Now, I'm not sure which Raiders team you're going to get when you play them. There's a chance that they could score some points and move the ball at home. They're a lot better than they are on the road typically, although they didn't look like it yesterday. But there are just going to be games, particularly early this season with Green Bay, with Kansas City, you know, some of those losses where that formula just wouldn't work. But in this little stretch here, I wouldn't have thought it would work against Tampa Bay. They were great on defense. It opened things up for Turner to go that route. Carolina made a lot of sense. I thought that was the ultimate under of a total, like first team to 20 wins, same kind of feel. Seattle, someone that could be like a 17-13 type game. So, yeah, that I think those are the types of games they're built to win. I would agree with you that way. 800-636-1067. Let's go to Sean in Columbia. Sean, what's changed here over these last 2 weeks?
Hey, guys. I honestly feel the coaching, these guys understand, and the experience. You know how the coaches at first, they kind of was like telling Taylor, you know, just manage the game and everything. But now the experience after the Tampa Bay game, we kind of went in that game with reckless abandonment, and we kind of were up the whole game. We was up. But it's kind of like once we got that win under our belt, we know how to win. We know how to play at a certain level, and it carried over to the Carolina game. So I think it's just the coaching, everybody getting behind the coaching. I feel like they told Taylor, go and play your game. Going into the Tampa Bay game, he did that, and he's staying at that level. They carried over into the Carolina game. Everybody is taking the identity of the coaching, and I got to make this point. Cam really showed up, and they were very emotional. That was an emotional team yesterday, so that was not only a good defense, but they were very emotional. So Taylor said, you know what? It's not Cam's day. This is our game. This is our day. And Taylor matched that emotion, and he went in there. Cam took the ball to the middle of the field, opened his chest and everything. I said, oh, we could have packed it in. But nope, Taylor said, hey, let's go down the field and score. We matched that 21 points, and it was our game from there, man. It was beautiful to see.
It really was. No, that's one of those things about Heinicke you got to love. Like he kind of sees that, and he smirks and goes, okay,
cool,
let's go. Like he's a want that smoke kind of dude. You know what I mean? Like, okay.
Yes, I do.
You want to play a little backyard ball here, Cam? Well, I can play some backyard ball. And that was an energetic, raucous stadium. The vibe pregame was really, really good, it seemed like. And on TV, I mean, they couldn't have done more of a blow-it-out Cam Newton party. You know, like the smoke and him coming out of the tunnel at the beginning of the game and the, it's Cam Newton's return on Fox, and they do the live introduction. I mean, it was just like, do we get to participate too, or is this just about the Panthers, you know?
Is this a Carolina Air Squad game? Is it the spring game here?
Right, exactly. And Washington got the last laugh, and Joey Sly is posting on Instagram about kicking the game-winning field goal, trolling them, saying he's back, and Rivera had to feel good last night going home, as did 30 other employees for the Washington football team that used to call the Panthers home. I thought Newton, so he had the 24-yard touchdown run, and he had a 27-yard touchdown pass. The pass was great. It was probably the only throw in the game where I was like, oh, that's impressive, quite literally, in 27 attempts. At no point was I worried about him throwing the football. I don't know about you, Danny, but I just, you know, with an offense, Washington too many times the last couple of years, I would say, is this offense. But you just go into certain games and you go, I'm not scared by that team at all. They're not going to go out and make a big play. They can't possibly, like, have an 84-yard touchdown right now. It's just not going to happen. That's the vibe I got all game long. They are a mostly one-dimensional, 3 yards in a cloud of dust, like, gross offense. And you got to treat them as such. And defensively, I thought they did a pretty good job at that.
I generally agree. I mean, the fear was not from Cam Newton dropping back, patting the football, and finding somebody, you know, 20, 30, 40, 50 yards down the field. That I was never afraid of that. What I was afraid of was how they did score, right? Flip it to Christian McCaffrey, and he, you know, breaks two tackles and makes a SportsCenter highlight play. Or Cam Newton on a keeper, or on a busted play that he just sort of, you know, makes something out of nothing. I think was it a fourth down conversion or a third down conversion where the play design to the left was blown up? Wasn't nothing there. I can't remember who it was. I apologize. Maybe Cole Holcomb down the flat, or maybe Casey Tua or something. And Newton just says, okay, I just got to go make a play now. Stops on a dime, jukes a couple of times, carries the defender over the first down marker for, you know, for a conversion. That's not a, you know, they're going to kill you, but that's the kind of stuff that I was afraid of, right? That playmaking gene, that, you know,
yeah,
that toughness, how huge he is, and that sort of thing. So in terms of fear, no, I wasn't afraid of the big play or like a Josh Allen finding Stephon Diggs 40 yards down the field kind of thing, but I was afraid of that kind of stuff. And I thought, by and large, the defense did an outstanding job of containing it.
Well, I actually thought early they were on their P's and Q's, bro, with the read option stuff and the keepers. Like, his first quote-unquote carry of the game was minus three off to the right. Smith Williams played it really well. Jamin Davis.
He just slid and said, that's all for me.
Yeah, Jamin Davis, who was pretty quiet again, a couple tackles and like 40-some reps. But he was in the on the scene, and Cam was like, I'll just live to fight another day. He just went down to the ground. A little bit later on, went off tackle for three, then off guard for four. And like every single time, it seemed like, wow, there's not a whole lot there. There's 2 yards. There's minus 1 yard. And eventually, he was able in the second quarter rip off the 24-yard touchdown. And that was, I think, the first snap I saw for Bunmi Rotimi at end. Smith Williams had been really sound. Two Hill had been pretty, I would say, responsible. Like, those guys seemed to know exactly what they were doing. And they went to their third end at that point, and he bit hard. Happened later in the game as well with Jamin Davis crashing off the edge for a read option. Went for the back. Cam kept it. Went for 11 and a first down. But for the most part, I thought they played it really, really well defensively. But what's different right now? That's the question. 800-636-1067. Now, I mentioned the turnovers for Heinicke. I mean, you could just say he's been lights out. Like, turnovers or not, if he threw a pick or two over the last couple of weeks to go along with everything else he's done, you'll live with it, because he's actually been fantastic. If I'm ranking all of his games this year, I actually did this on Twitter at Grant H. Paulson today. I had the Bucs game fourth because I loved what he did against the Falcons in Atlanta. And I thought, even though he threw a pick in that Giants game, I thought he was great against the Giants as well. But I've got yesterday number one and the Bucs number four. But two of his best four games, his four good games, have come in these last 2 weeks. Let's go to LeVar in Germantown on the Fan. LeVar, cool to hear you calling the Browns and the Lions yesterday. What's up, bro?
Hey. What's up, guys?
Hey, buddy.
Cool to have a victory Monday. I just wanted to say three things real quick. I think the first, Taylor Heineke's ODU coach, Bobby Wilder, I think his name is, said it earlier in the year, that if the O-line gives Taylor a little bit of time, a little breathing room, that the lack of his arm strength can be made up just by him having a little bit more poise in the pocket. And I think you're seeing that when you're seeing Taylor go through all his progressions. It looks so comfortable, man. And that leads me to the O-line. I think the O-line has been playing stellar. I know he got a couple of sacks yesterday, but other than that, the O-line has really been keeping him clean in the pocket. And letting him be able to see down the field.
LeVar, I hate to cut you short. Your phone sounds really bad. So we got the point of the call, and I want to react to it real quick. Thank you so much for making it, and I apologize. Just tough to listen with the phone being so bad. Danny, he's talking O-line and pass protection. Yeah. So why don't we give these guys their moment for a second? Yesterday, that's the number two defense in the league in sacks that they're facing. They gave up one sack in the game. It was, the offensive line did, I should say, specifically. I think Carolina had three. But in terms of the linemen themselves, look at the PFF grading. Sheriff had a quarterback hit against. No one else did. Sheriff had two hurries. Leno had one hurry. Lucas had one hurry. That was the list. As far as pressures, three against Sheriff, one against Leno, one against Lucas, one against Cosme. And that's with Tyler Larson coming in, Ismail playing at center. They used three different players at the position. I thought they played as well against that defensive group you and I were petrified of as we could have possibly imagined.
So when they give up 13 sacks in 3 weeks, and you and I are going to come in, I think rightfully so, by the way, and go, I thought the O-line did a really good job. And people go, wait a minute, like it giving up over four sacks per game over the last 3 weeks, how could you possibly say that? Because that would be a ridiculous pace right over the course of a season. But you just know, watching the games, it's play in and play out. There are plenty of times where nothing is disrupted, there's no chaos, nothing is broken down, there's no you throw it up for grabs just because there's somebody in your face, or a play's destroyed or busted, or you know, a guy's knifing through just to blow something up. There are very few of those occasions. And the sacks are coming from whether it's coverage or maybe the target spot for Heinicke is it should have been a five, but he's back seven when Reddick kind of loops around the edge to get him. I think by and large, this offensive line has played pretty damn well here over the last few weeks, even with some of the sack totals allowed, three yesterday, kind of as you correctly touched on. I do feel like they've played pretty well here. And again, as they've run the ball an awful lot, you've seen them maybe kind of get into their groove and maybe be more effective that way. Maybe it's also knowing personnel, maybe knowing that this group thrives on giving them a few extra run calls and they'll kind of do their dirty work of having to pass pro. Something to think about.
I've liked their pass protection all year, I will say, just as an aside. Not that that's gospel, but going back through the numbers with PFF and just watching the games, I haven't really had any problems. There might be a game here or there where it wasn't clean. But I think that's been a strength for them, really start to finish. I think they got guys that are a little bit underrated. Like Cornelius Lucas is really good, and he's played that way since last year. And I like him. I mean, he's their third tackle. Cosme was a very highly regarded player who was killing it as a second-round pick when he got hurt, and he's finally back, and then he got hurt again. One thing I do want to hit on, maybe we could just touch on this next before we continue on what has changed and why they're playing so well these last 2 weeks. 800-636-1067 if you want to hop in, is – they have a lot of guys that come back and get hurt again. And it'll be one of the few negative things we address today on a Victory Monday. But in a season where you have major turmoil on the training staff, I just have to imagine there's a connection, right? I mean, how many times has a guy come back only to be hurt again right after that? It seems like every one of their players who's out for weeks comes back. And like Cosme's the latest example, right? I mean, it just keeps happening. It's weird. It is a Victory Monday presented by Chenega Mios, MIOScareers.com. Go and view open positions and apply today. The countdown is on. Tell a friend, send a text, send a tweet. We are counting on you guys to get as many years as possible for Terry McLaurin at 4 o'clock right here on Grant and Danny. Hall & Oates Monday. Normally we reserve those for like 300-yard, three-touchdown gems. We've lowered the bar some from a statistical standpoint, but that was a masterpiece for Heinicke. 206 yards, well-earned, efficient, and most importantly, as we welcome you back on Grant and Danny here on The Fan, for the second time in a couple weeks, the good guys are in the win column. The question is, how are they doing it, and what has changed? 800-636-1067 is the number. Alex is in Wheaton. Remember, Terry McLaurin joins us in 30 minutes after a massive win in Carolina. All of a sudden, that in the hunt graphic sees Washington climbing higher. What's up, Alex? How are you?
Hey, boys. So my point is so basic, so elemental, that I fooled your call screener for a minute. He didn't think it was on topic. I persuaded him it was. I'm going to put it in the form of a question, and I don't actually know the literal answer as I'm calling you, but I'll just say it this way. When was the last time in the post-Kirk Cousins era that this team had one starting quarterback for 10 straight games in a row?
I don't think that's happened. Alex Smith got hurt right around 10 games, 9 games, something like that.
Next game will be the 10th game.
It's a great point. Hadn't considered it, but you're right. They have not had a guy make 10 straight starts. And one of the knocks, remember, Danny, on Taylor Heinicke coming into the year was durability, because that has been a story his entire career. Minnesota had a weird fluke injury when he was, I'm pretty sure, when he was like competing there. Then in Carolina, he like kicked a window or something weird. I don't remember the exact details, but had some issue with his foot and got hurt the one game he played in against Atlanta with his elbow. And then obviously here in Washington, in the Carolina game, he came in, played a quarter, everything was fine, played against Tampa, got hurt, and almost didn't finish that game. Was in the locker room getting treatment. Steven Montez was throwing on the sideline, and right as Washington's offense was getting ready to go out on the field late in that game, by God, it's Heinicke's music, he stayed in the game. But that was One of the reasons a lot of people kind of dismissed him before the season was, well, he can't stay healthy. He added some weight. He supposedly changed how he played, and we've seen since that he is taking fewer shots. He is making some occasional business decisions, and I think he has philosophically made the correct adjustments to stay on the field.
Well, deserves credit for that, and I'm serious about it. I mean, it's not just the weight training, but it goes into flexibility and a whole bunch of other things. Grant, that one sack, I was convinced he had a broken leg. What, you know the one I'm talking about where two guys hit him?
Folded up like a table?
I go, that's it. That, like, instantly I cringed and I let out an audible gasp and I think I yelled, oh my God, and everybody came running because I thought I'd spilled, you know, some sort of hot liquid down my pantaloons when I was watching this game in the beach house in the other room. I thought he was done, and he pops right back up and there was nary a mention of it, and, you know, let's kind of go on about our day with the game. That hurts a lot of people, that play. And again, that he deserves credit for that, for, you know, for building up his body and changing habits and making himself available each and every week. That is a massive deal to go from a guy that's oft injured. I always say this, and looks like it's wrong in this case. Oft injured guys all of a sudden don't just become reliable every week starters, and he's found a way to do that to this point.
I'm pretty sure, by the way, that sack was a -9 from Burns. It was like a high-low situation, right?
Yep.
And that set up the 3rd and 21. I didn't like that sack from him. There were a couple in the game that he took. Now, if I had a chance to talk to him and he said, hey, I'm taking a few more sacks here and there because that's going to help me not throw the picks, okay, I could see that, and I might be okay with that. I don't necessarily wholeheartedly subscribe to sacks are better than interceptions. I know a lot of people do, but it's all situational. But in that spot, it was -9. It set up 3rd and 21. That's a killer. Your drive is over. There's 8 minutes to go in a tie game, and now you're punting and Carolina's getting the ball back. And they got a chance to win. But that's when they got the 18-yarder to Humphreys. I give Heinicke some credit there because he made the throw. I give Humphreys the majority of the credit because he made a great catch and run. But honestly, you got to give Carolina some of the credit as an assist. They played so soft, it was ridiculous. Go back and watch that play. I did last night. It was a 13.5-yard cushion at the snap, and they dropped at the snap even further.
Oh, so losery.
I mean, they just gave up.
You got to know.
Like 12 yards before he even lowered his shoulder to actually go get more with contact, and ended up getting all but three, and it was an easy call for Rivera to go for it there. Let's go to Brian in Georgetown. Hey, Brian, how are you?
Hey, guys, how are you guys doing?
Doing good. We're trying to figure out after two straight wins what's changed for this football team.
It's a balanced game. I notice. I've been a fan for 25 years. They're playing balanced football. But you know what? The one thing that hit me the most yesterday was I watched the replay of every throw that Heinicke did. Man, the guy, you know, let's give him some. I know he's not getting a lot of respect. It's cool. He's, what, 10, 11 games into this? The three touchdowns, man, you watch it like, damn. I thought it was impressive. And I can't speak much about DeAndre Carter. He's just, I mean, for the money we paid him, he's just really helped us. But the other two, you know, I love Cam Sims. I grew up with the Posse's. So I'm like, why don't we have McLaurin, Sims, Carter, and to help this quarterback who I feel like has so much tenacity, let's give him a chance. Let's reevaluate him at the end of the year. Let him play it out. Let him see what's up. Just want your guys' input on, you know, the fairness of this. We get it. We all want instant success, but let's see what happens. I thought he had a pretty darn impressive game.
He had a great game.
Yeah, really impressive.
I mean, back-to-back, he's played really well. Look, he's got 9 starts now. They're doing what you're asking for. They're letting him play. They're evaluating him. They're week-to-week internally, and at the end of the year, they'll look back at this thing. We are prisoners of the moment. We are reactionary, all of us. The fact is, in 9 games, he's played really well 4 times. He's played badly 4 times. And if you need me to put the Green Bay game in one or the other, I would say bad over good.
I'd say bad, yeah.
Because there were, you know, there's a lot of throws that are missed. There's a lot of things that didn't work out. He dived short of the goal line, what have you. But he ran for 95 yards. So I'm kind of taking that and putting it in a middling category as its own. Not good, not bad, if I'm allowed to have a little more nuance than that. And not go fully binary. Even though he struggled to throw the football. But it was kind of a, like Kyler Murray when he's struggling kind of day where he runs all over the place and moves the ball 10-10. They stunk in the red zone. He was the biggest reason why. But there were some good things in that game too. But I say that only to say, number one, they're going to evaluate this in the big picture of the entirety of the season if he can finish this thing, you know, not just based on this game. He does, as we've talked about every step of the way, still control his own destiny. Now, to use a team term here, so to speak, that we'll hear a lot in the next few weeks. He's still on the grass. He's still making the throws. Going into the Tampa game, you can play great. Going into the Carolina game, you can go against a good defense and play great and improve your status, improve your stock, win some people over. He's going to have that opportunity against Seattle, not a great defense this coming week, against the Raiders, on the road in Vegas, and then with five division games, he's got seven games left in this audition, so to speak, to try to win more people over or to prove that he's getting better. I think when we talk about Heinicke later, Danny, we're going to really zero in on him at 5 o'clock or so today. Maybe even sooner. Maybe after McLaurin, we could do it at 4:25 if you want. But what I think we need to start drilling down on a little bit, because this is what I'm getting the most of on Twitter and just in my interactions with fans around town now, is shouldn't we be viewing him like a rookie? You know, don't we understand this is only 10 starts in for him? It's his first full season. And I'm not viewing him that way. And maybe people disagree with that. And that's something we can talk about more. But, like, to me, he's in his seventh year in the league, and he's almost 30. That's a little bit aggressive, but he's closer to 30 than he is 25. And I don't view him like I would view a rookie who's made 9 starts. I just don't. I think being in the league as long as he has, being around and practicing and in buildings, like, that all helps you. So if this was, like, Zach Wilson or Trevor Lawrence this many games in, I would totally view it differently than I do with Heinicke. I do think there are a lot of fans, Danny, you agree with me or not here, that are kind of viewing it as if, like, let's just imagine he's a 6th-round pick who's played 9 games, who is drafted last year. And I'm not doing that. Whether that's fair or not, that's just not how I'm viewing it.
Yeah, I got a text from a good friend last night who's, you know, just all in on Washington football and cares an awful lot, et cetera. And he's seeing that kind of chatter where they're going, hey, Taylor Heinicke's just like a rookie. And I made the point as follows. Would you treat Chase Daniels a rookie if the quarterback ahead of him got hurt and he started 9 games and played well? And he goes, no, of course not. I said, well, that's, you're closer to that than you are a true rookie. He's been in the league for a decade, more or less, right? The better part of a decade. And Chase Daniel, I think, has 5 career starts. So if he started 9 games and still, quote, not as much as a rookie, there's a difference. You go through the NFL life, training camps, OTAs, you know, all the different practices and the number of times that you get these reps against the best players in the entire universe, it matters. It's different than a rookie that's learning this thing for the first time. Now, that doesn't mean there's not room to develop and grow, and you can't, you know, there's no reason to say that he can't be a late bloomer, but simply saying, hey, it's just like a rookie. Nope. He's just got a similar number of starts. That's where the similarity ends to me.
And I think that's one of, like, 2 conversations we should and need to be having with him whenever we talk Heinicke. And we could do that in a little less than an hour. Remember, Terry McLaurin is with us at 4 o'clock. But the other of the combos, he made a comment to Mark Sanchez about, this is the first time every single week for basically 3 months in a row, I'm getting a chance week in and week out to get first-team reps, and I'm improving by leaps and bounds. And his point is you're seeing that on the field. Well, number one, you're kind of working back from a result. I think that's always kind of convenient. We'll see. The proof will be in the pudding. Through 2 games, it looks like he's right. Like, if he doesn't have any more of those New Orleans and Buffalo-type games, maybe he's onto something. Maybe he is just getting better. I'll leave that possibility open. But the question then would be, let's just say he is getting better. Because the last 2 games make it post-bye week look that way against some good defenses. What's the ceiling? Like, that's still the question to me. If he's improving, that's awesome. If he's leaving some of the bad behind and giving you more of the good, that's great. But what is the best version of him comparative to what you'll need it to be to get where you want to go? So that's the other big part of the Heinicke combo, but we can get more into that after McLaurin. The question for you guys at 800-636-1067, simply, the last 2 weeks, this has been a different team. Defense has looked night and day different. Offense has done everything they've had to do in a couple of wins. They were averaging 11 points a game for 3 weeks, scored 29 last week and 27 yesterday. What has changed for the Washington football team, who looks like they might be trying to do the late season run thing again? And we'll squeeze in a double play as well. We're Grant and Danny. That's next on The Fan. Let's do more of these Victory Mondays. They're a good time. Presented by Chiniga Mios. Visit MIOScareers.com to view open positions and apply today. Grant Paulson, Danny Ruye, live on 106.7 The Fan. Washington's won two straight. Tampa Bay, nobody saw that coming. They were a dog on the road again. Back-to-back upset wins. Let's get to a double play. Terry McLaurin, less than 15 minutes from now at 4. Spread the word. But right now, what's going on in our lives? Nothing to do with sports. We do these quick and crowbar them in on Mondays because you guys want to hear about and talk about football. Sponsored by Mattress Warehouse. Free next day delivery and setup available on all orders. Over $7.99 and a one-year price guarantee. Learn more at sleephappens.com. Danny, we'd be remiss if we didn't mention you are at the beach for your Thanksgiving holiday coming up. That is made for Double Play City. How have you done so far, my friend?
Oh, it's been incredible, my friend. So we are, you know, we normally do this, I don't want to say on the cheap, but we usually don't spring for like the beachfront at the height of the season during the summertime when we go, right? Because it's like two or three times the price for that convenience and for that view that you're going to experience, but at the height of demand, right? Well, the off season, this is kind of what we normally pay, even a little bit less for our, like, you know, block and a half kind of walk down, you know, down the strip. So we've got these like pristine, unbelievable, amazing views. Like each of the last couple nights, I've hopped in the hot tub as the full moon like is cascading off the water, and it just feels like the height of luxury, man. You walk out the front door, kids go on and play it on the beach, and you know, I played wiffle ball with my son this morning, and my youngest is collecting seashells, and their cousins are running around. It has been an unbelievable time. Highly recommend folks do this at least once, whether it's the beach or otherwise. Just get out of town for Thanksgiving. Instead of people descending onto a house and ruining it and everyone being all uptight, this is just so relaxed, so easy. Nobody's got any pressure to do anything. It has been absolutely fantastic, my friend.
Sounds like a nice recharge of the batteries, and I would say,
oh, it's so good.
You have to work, but by working, it just means you get to talk about Washington winning a football game for 4.5 hours with me, which we'll do that.
Not bad.
As often as possible, because that is the dream, that is the goal. A couple of guys we haven't talked about yet today I just wanted to call quick attention to. I don't think we've mentioned John Allen enough. I thought he was great again. Only the 4 pressures statistically, but he just kept putting big fat linemen on skates and driving them right into the chest and the gut and the junk of Cam Newton. Basically, like they were grinding on him on a 6th-grade dance. Keep doing your thing, John Allen. You're going to end up in
He's
the Pro Bowl.
He's so wonderful.
J.D. McKissic, after the Gibson fumble, got 6 carries in the first half for 42 yards. Average 7 yards a carry. And there were some good runs in there, by the way. He got
explosive runs, quick.
One run after halftime, though. They went back to the Gibson show, and I understand why he was running hard. He was running well. But whenever you need J.D. McKissic, he's just a phone call away, man. He will be there with bells on, and he will do his job. Speaking of Gibson, I loved how he finished the game, but he's fumbled 5 times this year.
Yeah.
He's lost 4 fumbles.
And he stepped out of bounds, man.
That
I know it ended up
play.
Not biting him, but everything about that. It's just I went from being really excited about Antonio Gibson, just generally going last year, just the upside of the potential. He's still done some good things, and I'm not writing the entire book, but come on, dude. At a certain point, it's no longer potential, and it's like, hey, you're hurting us with the fumbles and the stepping out of bounds, and I know you're sorry. You know, he made it an, oh, man, I can't believe I did that face.
Right.
I appreciate you being upset about it. That's cool. Please stop doing it. Please do really good NFL football things. The fumbling, man, is a thing now. I mean, yeah, sometimes it's fighting for extra yardage, but yeah, you tipped the cap to the other guy because he made a play. I can't remember who it was that poked it out. That was an excellent play by that defender. I need that not to matter. I need it not to happen anymore. You got a couple freebies. Enough of this with Gibson. But yeah, he was benched. My brother-in-law who's got Gibson in fantasy comes waddling in to the room. He's watching another game and he goes, "What's going on with Antonio Gibson?" I said, "Oh, he fumbled." And you can find him gnawing on a bone in Ron Rivera's doghouse here for the better part of an hour plus real time. Then he came back and ran with a vengeance. But to McKissic real quick, I just want to say, I'm going to keep beating this drum. More McKissic. More McKissic early. Not just because Gibson fumbles. Not just because it's third down. That guy needs the football. That's their second best weapon right now when it comes to the different things that he can do behind the wonderful 17, Terry McLaurin, who will join us in 9 minutes. I need more McKissic in my life.
Yeah, he's their most complete back, in my opinion, J.D. McKissic, for sure. Let's go to Bobby in Warsaw on G&D. Hey, Bobby, how are you?
Hi, guys. I'm doing okay. Hope y'all are, too. Got about 3 different comments. One, that the defense is helping, not hurting the offense at this point, field position and everything.
True.
Others is, and that Heineke seems to be more comfortable with the ball and with his offensive receivers, but also the receivers, maybe since, what, half of them are better one on the team last year, that they are getting more comfortable in their routes and their, and what they're supposed to do with Heineke. Plus, Heineke seems to be throwing a little more zip on the ball in the last few games. All in all, maybe Scott Turner's play calling is getting them open more, because no quarterback that has to throw it in a seam every time is going to be that productive. And that's my comments.
Appreciate you. I remember Bobby Collin before, because I thought the same thing last time, which is he sounds like a guy in a history documentary. It was like, and then General George Custer led them over the hill. And I just want to give him a script to read next time. I don't know where he's
from. Yeah, I want him to narrate something.
He's got a tremendous voice. Some good points, though. Let's go to Anthony and Calvert on Grant and Danny. Anthony, be quick here, because we got to get to Terry McLaurin, top of the hour.
Yep, don't want to take his time. Anyway, about a month ago, when Landon Collins got moved up to the line, and at about the same time, there was a bunch of talk about you know, managing a game by Heineke, and you know, there was just, I think everybody was nitpicking. I think everybody's trying to get in their comfort zone now, and I think you're finally starting to have an identity, a comfort level, a maturity. You know, Turner has grown, as in my opinion, has grown as a play caller. We're starting to see more pre-snap motion. We're starting to see, you know, more ingenious routes, keeping people open. I just think the team is growing, and those two things, in my opinion, moving Collins up to the line,
yep,
or out of, into the box, and the bye week, and you know, I just think you're seeing a growth, and you know,
I think you're onto something, and I think that the Landon Collins decision has transcended the defense. It was maybe too late, you know, several weeks beyond when maybe they could have done it, if you want to ding it, but it has been the game changer that a lot of us were hoping it would be, and I love all the motion. Now, something we could ask Terry about, honestly, because I mean, poor DeAndre Carter probably ran like 14 miles just in motion and in jet action yesterday to get his couple of targets at wide receiver. Next, Danny, let's do this thing. Everyone's been waiting all day. Terry McLaurin, after a 100-yard performance and a monster outing, joins us live on Grant and Danny. Do us this favor. Text some buddies. Tell them to turn on the fan. Send a tweet right now. Tag us in it, at Grant H. Paulson, at Funny Danny. Let's get Washington football team fans listening to Terry McLaurin on the show live next.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.